morning, everyone. Tough times are coming. Upcoming federal election in the U.S. could see an administration that is hostile, administration that imposes tariffs, set to renegotiate our 2026 trade deals with Mexico and the U.S. Who knows what that'll do to our economy, what jobs will be lost, mine, ours, yours, everyone's. I don't know, but tough times are coming. Cost of housing is going up. Total cost of living is going up, pricing many out of home ownership, forcing those on fixed incomes to cut down on spending, forcing some to dip into savings that they had not planned on dipping into yet, or at all. Tough times are coming. Large-scale military action may or may not occur in the Middle East. We have a 2.5-year running war in Ukraine and Russia. Then as we go forward, how will that disrupt the world economy, our nation's trade relationships? Will we see an upset in global supply chains again? Tough times are coming. And what is the prudent thing to do when tough times are coming? We prepare. We get ready. If tough economic times are coming, we begin to budget more carefully. We examine every dollar we spend. We start saving more per month, cut back on discretionary spending, we eat out less, go out to movies less. Maybe we get ready to go back to school to acquire new skills. So the tough times are coming, and it's necessary to prepare for them. Tough times are coming, and we need to prepare, says the Apostle Paul in our passage. But, however, in complete stark contrast, unlike my illustration of tough economic times, the context in Ephesians is different. My earlier illustration might be slightly misleading because the context of Ephesians 6:10-20 is tough times. It is why Paul is writing this final block of teaching. But the tough times that Paul refers to is the day of evil, which he references in verse 13. Those are the tough times the apostle is referencing. Tough times are coming, and it's necessary to prepare for them. Specifically with a message, by being strong in the Lord and, in my phrasing for today, having a strong prayer life. This really is the main point I want to get across today. Tough times are coming for the Ephesian church, and it's necessary to prepare for them, specifically by being strong in the Lord and, in my understanding of the passage, having a strong prayer life. Now, before we go further, it is unclear as to the specific day of evil Paul is referring to. It could be a time of great trouble before the second coming of Christ, or it could be an upcoming time of crisis. In fact, after Ephesians was written, if you look back at history, Christians experienced for the very first time large-scale persecution throughout the Roman Empire. So maybe this is the day of evil Paul was referencing. Maybe. We don't know. We're not sure, but we do know. Tough times are coming. Now, again, verse 13 is unclear as to which specific day of evil Paul was referring to. Which specific day for the Ephesians, and for us, maybe it's unclear as well. However, what's unclear is the context. Tough times are coming, says Paul. Tough times brought on by the devil, Satan, his minions, rulers, authorities, powers of the dark world. It will be a struggle, as verse 12 clearly tells us, not against flesh and blood, Which is why in verse 10, Paul commends us to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. By ourselves, we cannot win against the spiritual forces of evil. By ourselves, we cannot win against this spiritual day of evil, these spiritual tough times. Only by the strength of the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. As I said in the beginning, Paul is writing this final block of teaching because tough times are coming for the believers in Ephesus. And when Paul references tough times, as he goes through this passage, we can put it this way. Tough times are coming, and it's necessary to prepare for them, specifically by being strong in the Lord and having a strong prayer life. In essence, we prepare two ways, two spiritual ways. First is to put on what we all know from the passage as the armor of God, spiritual armor against spiritual enemies. For again, our struggle is not with blood and flesh. And the armor of God consists of six things. You can consider this image as you consider these things. It is the image of a soldier, equipped, ready for battle. The soldier has on a belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, shoes of readiness that come from the gospel of peace, a shield of faith, a helmet of salvation, and finally, the sword of the Spirit. And with this armor, Paul says that we will be able to stand firm. This idea of standing firm is reiterated four times in this passage. It's one of the key words. Stand firm on this day of evil. And this is what it means. With the armor of God, we will be able to resist, to stand against the devil's schemes on the day of evil, and stand firm. We will not fall back. We will stand firm, not crumble. When the day of evil comes and our faith is tested, we remain faithful to God because we stand and we stand firm. And finally, pray, says Paul in this passage. This is the second way to prepare for the day of evil. After discussion of the armor of God in verses 13 and 18, Paul also instructs us to pray. In order to stand firm, again, this is a very important word in the passage. In order to stand firm, we need to put on the armor of God and pray. As we see in verses 18 to 20, the instruction is to pray at all times, to pray unceasingly with all kinds of prayer, and also to pray for other Christians, to intercede. And of course, Paul adds, pray also for me. Now, to sum up this passage, to somewhat recap what I've said so far, to the Ephesians, Paul says, tough times are coming, a day of evil is coming, brought on by spiritual forces. So prepare. Prepare for this by being strong in the Lord and having a strong life of prayer. By putting on the full armor of God, which will allow you to stand firm, and as you stand firm, pray unceasingly in the Spirit for others in the body of Christ. This is the essence of the passage as I've seen it. Tough times are coming, so prepare for them with the armor of God and prayer. It's in these two areas that this passage speaks into our lives, whether it is the tough times that occur before the second coming of Christ, a time of crisis for us as believers. The point is, be prepared and be prepared now. by putting on the armor of God and having a strong prayer life. Now, since Paul clearly exhorts us to change our lives in these 2 areas, let me do 2 things today. I'll run through the armor of God very, very quickly, and then turn to a more detailed discussion on prayer in order to bring this passage into our lives. Now, first, the armor of God. Please note that there is some disagreement among researchers and scholars about each item. So as I go through each item, please remember, this is an understanding based on my best reading of the text. Again, back to the armor of God. As a soldier preparing for battle, we equip a belt of truth. In other words, as we struggle against the devil's schemes, tricks, cunning, we have the truth of the Bible. We have within us, we have within the scriptures all that is true. God is one. We are justified by faith that Jesus is the Son of God. We have a breastplate of righteousness. Against a time of great struggle against evil forces, God has given us the ability to walk in righteousness, to do what is right instead of what is wrong, to do what pleases God and not the world, to be kind and compassionate instead of hateful and vindictive. We have shoes, not just shoes, shoes of readiness that come from the gospel's people. It's a bit of a paradox. We have a readiness to stand and battle against evil because we have a gospel of peace. We are ready because we have a gospel of peace where we are reconciled to both God and to each other. And of course, we have a shield of faith. Faith in God and all his might to stand against the powers of the dark world. There's really quite a bit in this passage. And we have a helmet of salvation. We know that with our salvation, however much we may suffer for our faith, however much persecution we face, we are already granted eternal life. And finally, among the armor of God, the sword of the Spirit. Among the armor of God, we actually finally have a weapon to attack with. The word of God is sharp. It convicts, it separates right from wrong, it proclaims the gospel of Christ. Now, as I've mentioned before, to prepare for tough times, on top of the armor of God, we must pray. We must have a strong life of prayer. Let me try to make this connection between the armor of God and prayer. As you can see, the armor of God is not something we can earn. It's nothing we make. It's all about power that comes from God. In other words, to equip, to acquire, to use the full armor of God requires a humble posture of dependence on God, which ties very well with Paul's exhortation for us to pray. Because a life of prayer is a posture of humble reliance on the Lord. The wording of the passage clearly links prayer to the armor of God. Prayer and stand firm, they go together. We can actually rightly translate the passage as stand firm, having put on the armor of God, praying at all times. Stand firm, having put on the armor of God while praying at all times. It isn't stand firm with the armor of God and pray. It is stand firm, having put on the armor of God while praying at all times. And it is really prayer that I want to turn my attention to now. The prayer really points out the need for a strong prayer life. This is a passage that calls us to reflect on our prayer life. The armor of God is important, but the other part is this passage calls us to really examine our prayer lives. So the question is this, and take a minute. How is your prayer life? Is it, as the passage suggests, constant, unceasing? Is it, as this passage suggests, filled with unceasing prayer for others? Is it, as the passage suggests, guided by the Holy Spirit, in the Spirit? The passage really forces us to reflect on the quality of our prayer life. Now, and as we look at the passage, three things actually come up. Three aspects of prayer are highlighted in the passage. Let me repeat. As we look at the passage, specifically verse 18, three aspects about prayer are highlighted in the passage. First, prayer is unceasing. Paul commends us to pray at all times. Second, prayer is guided by the Holy Spirit. Paul commends us to pray in the Spirit. Third, prayer includes constant intercession for all the Lord's people, for all the other members of the body of Christ. Let me say that again. Prayer is unceasing. Prayer is guided by the Holy Spirit. Prayer includes constant, persevering intercession for all the Lord's people, for all the brothers and sisters. Inherently, we pray, but it's not easy to build up and maintain a strong prayer life that is absolutely unceasing at all times, guided by the Holy Spirit, always interceding for one another. And when I consider these three things, my opinion on all this, the application comes down to being disciplined, being intentionally organized when it comes to building a strong prayer life. We have three aspects of prayer that the passage brings out, and I think one way to realize these three aspects is to be intentionally organized when it comes to building a strong prayer life. Now, what I mean is this. First of all, our passage indicates a strong prayer life needs to be unceasing at all times. And while this can take form in many different ways, for many of us, again, I just think it means our devotional lives must be disciplined. We pray, we all pray, but our devotional lives aren't always consistent. Are they? Day by day, week by week, year in, year out, decade by decade. It is difficult to have a disciplined prayer life. Now, I know my own devotional life. Sometimes disciplined every day. Sometimes it dips down. Sometimes it becomes non-existent. Some days I approach my time of prayer and I'm tired. I slog through it. Sometimes it's just something to get through. That isn't the prayer life that Paul envisions in verse 18. So again, be disciplined about your prayer life. Be disciplined in our daily devotion. So pick a good time when you won't be distracted. Pick a good time when you'll not be tired. Pick a good time when you'll not be rushed, and stick to it. Every day, pray unceasingly with discipline. If you want a life of regular, daily prayer, be wise in choosing your time and place. And stick to it. Be disciplined in order to pray unceasingly. Now, some things to keep in mind. I've already mentioned them when it comes to daily devotions. One, pick a place where you will not be distracted. The living room is not a good idea for me. Pick a time when you won't be distracted. When everyone is coming home from work or school, it's usually also not a good time. Pick a time when you're not tired. I don't do my devotions in the evening anymore. Tired after a day of work. When you come to your devotions tired, there's just something to get through. For me. Now, I know this is obvious, but bear in mind, your physical state, especially when you're tired and fatigued, will affect your spiritual life. Your physical state affects your spiritual life. And again, pick a time when you won't be rushed. Some people like to do their devotions in the morning. I don't, because when I get up, I'm already thinking of when to leave the house. Meaning, pick a time when you can peacefully commune with the Lord, unrushed, not hedged in by upcoming or previous appointments. In sum, when I consider how to make prayer unceasing, be disciplined. Pick a time, place, and stick with it. Now, second of all, as I said, there's three aspects to prayer in verse 18. Second of all, a strong prayer life is guided by the Holy Spirit. For Paul, in all his writings, prayer is intimately guided, governed, and made effective through the Holy Spirit. And if that's true, if prayer is guided by the Holy Spirit, then perhaps it is time to examine carefully what we pray for. J.I. Packer says this about prayer. Many Christians have a prayer list that they dutifully go through. They go through it line by line, but they do this without spending time carefully examining each item, without considering, are these prayers pleasing to God? Do these prayers seek the will of God? This teaching by Packer has actually changed my life. I've dropped a lot of my prayer items. They don't matter to God, just me. And so when you pray to God, you ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, to show you, is this what God wants? Do these prayer items please the will of God? Do they seek the will of God? And so I end with this. Carefully examine what you pray for. You ask the Holy Spirit to examine each item. Do these things seek the will of God? Now, third, and lastly, according to the passage, a strong prayer life is always interceding. Always praying for the other members of Christ. And you'll notice when you read this passage, you'll notice that constant intercession, perseverance in praying for all the Lord's people, is tied to keep alert, watch. In our struggle against spiritual forces of evil, there is a need to stay alert, to not be complacent, to be on your guard, meaning there is a sense of staying alert such that you will be constantly interceding for other members of Christ. Verse 18, keep on praying for all the Lord's people, unceasing intercession for our brothers and sisters who also struggle in this same battle, who also struggle against the authorities, the rulers, the dark powers of this world. We can't do this alone. We're in it together. If Paul's intent is to encourage us to pray for all the Lord's people, I commend to you just two simple things. Set up your weekly prayer chart. Set it up for Monday through Sunday, 7 days. And for every day, you list out the people you pray for. And keep alert. Persevere. Don't get complacent. Don't forget to intercede for these people. it's not always difficult to remember to pray for ourselves. But after a time of devotions and you're tired, it's not easy to remember that you are called to persevere as you pray for others, to intercede for others, unceasingly also. And also, make yourself available and open to praying for others. Let people know you're available for prayer requests. And be alert, don't get complacent. Keep watch. Tough times are coming, says Paul. Day of evil, when our faith will be tested. Tough times are coming. We don't know when. The passage is unclear on that, but it's clear it's necessary to pray for them. Specifically, again, by being strong in the Lord and having a strong prayer life. To that end, put on the full armor of God that you may stand firm, and as you are standing firm, keep praying. More specifically, develop a strong prayer life in three ways. First, pray at all times, unceasingly. Be disciplined. Second, pray in the Spirit. Be guided in your prayers by God. Third, keep alert. Pray with all perseverance for the body of Christ. Never stop praying for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Tough times are coming. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. Stand firm. And as you stand firm, pray unceasingly in the Spirit, interceding for all the Lord's people.